Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's JD here, and I am parched as I walk down the hallway of the SNL Hall of Fame down to the lunchroom. Matt, how you doing? And I'm heading down to meet my friends Joe and Shari, as I do every week, to gather around the water cooler to dish on our favorite television program and, you know, one of our favorite podcasts. That's the SNL Hall of Fame. Joe, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking from my water dish. I just want to make sure that I'm keeping with the theme. What my name on it, it says Jodo, instead of Fido. I just kind of put duct tape and wrote my name on it. So, yeah, drinking from my water dish this morning. Shari?
I've got my imaginary water bottle here because my real one is at home and I'm not at home today. But I'm still glug, glug, glugging my imaginary water. Glug, glug, glug.
All right. Well, this week on the program, Monday, we released an episode with our good friend Bill Kenny, speaking with Victoria Franzel, and she brought the goods on Tim Meadows. Shari, I want to know if you can give us the rundown of that wonderful episode.
It was a sensational episode. Bill and Victoria expertly scale the incredible, incredible tenure of Tim Meadows. They go through some of his most momentous moments, from the OJ years to Oprah to Jingleheimer Junction to Ladies Man. This is a fascinating look at a shamefully, woefully underrated cast member and a must listen if you haven't listened to it for any diehard or even casual SNL fan who wants to learn more about a truly terrific, important cast member. Bill and Victoria brought it home.
Nicely said. Yeah, I really, Meadows was one of those ones that I sort of slipped away a little bit during the second part of his tenure. And like the big Farley Sandler years, I was not as glued as I was, during the second golden age. And then I came back to it, before the third golden age. Anyway, I digress. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about Tim, and it gave me a newfound respect for him. I mentioned in the episode that I wasn't a ladies' man guy. I didn't, enjoy it that much. But I liked the sketch that they selected, and I thought it was, pretty funny. I have a friend that loves the ladies' man. Always does the impression when we go camping. Anyway, Joe, I'm curious, who in the Hall of Fame already might you compare? Okay.
So, yes,
Mr. Meadows
list, and none immediately jumped out And then I gave it a second thought. And I came back to either Maya Rudolph or Chris Farley. And it's for this reason. And it's a reason why I think Tim Meadows deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, which is he was a part of one cast, and he wasn't really – he kind of faded in the background. He was always a supporting player, if at all, or whatever. But then he rose in the second cast, like when there was a revamp. You know, that kind of happened with Maya. She was a part of, like, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey's Jimmy Fallon era. And then once they kind of went away, she – came to the limelight and shined. I guess same thing with Chris Farley. He was a part of like Jan Hooks, Bill Hartman era. And then once they went away, he got his chance to shine for the most part. And I think that's really what sums up Tim Meadows' turn as at SNL, which is he was a part of the Sandler, Schneider, Julie Sweeney years. And then there's that revamp after season 20. And they brought in, you know, Daryl Hammond and Sherry O'Terry and the legendary Chris Kattan and then some Will F. guy. But then the point is Will or Tim Meadows came, you know, that he was like the senior or something. So he because the audience was familiar with him, they kind of like trusted him, you know, when you got new people like. You know, Molly, you got people you haven't seen already. So
right.
When you see Tim Meadows, you kind of get reminded to quote the good old days of 3 years ago. And so when he does his, you know, when he started, then that's when he started doing characters, because that was a reoccurring thing with him, was that he had no characters. And that was at a time when everyone had a character.
Right.
So, yeah, to answer your question, I'm going to say Maya or Farley because they were a part of one cast and then shined when they, as they went along and became, you know, the leader of a second cast.
I like that angle. Yeah, I like that angle. That's a neat way of looking at it, Joe. Shari, how about you? Did you have somebody different or you want to jump on the back of what Joe said?
I did have somebody different. That was interesting what Joe said about the different eras. I came at it from a different angle. Victoria talks so much about his versatility and how he could go really big or really small or somewhere in the middle. And I see a lot of comparisons with Tim and Phil Hartman. Oh. I think, you know, the word utility came up a lot during Bill and Victoria's chat. Versatility, utility, a lot. Same words we use for Hartman, right? So I feel like those two have a lot of similarities.
I like it. Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, I like I'm going that with too. Hartman.
Yes.
The glue guy. Yeah. So now let's take a look at the entirety of the ballot. The people who aren't into the Hall of Fame yet, the people who remain clinging on the ballot, looking to get in on this final season, waiting with bated breath. My God, the excitement is palpable. Who from the entire ballot has a similar pathway to the Hall, Shari?
I'm going to go with another utility player from not too many years ago who gets forgotten about, much like Tim, who didn't really have any characters, actually. But just they remind me a lot of each other. I'm going with somebody we talked about last year, Mr. Beck Bennett. I think Beck he and Tim Bennett. Have a lot of similarities.
Wow. I was waiting for you to say Chris Parnell. The way you built it up, I was like Chris Parnell. And then it was like Beck Bennett, but that makes total sense too.
Yeah, Parnsey would be another excellent choice though, JD. Those guys who didn't get a lot of attention, but they're always there in the clutch for sure.
Yeah. Joe, how about you from the entirety of the ballot?
I'm probably going to go with someone we talked about more recently, and that's Kevin Nealon. I mean, I'm not, again, someone that was there a long time and sure. And he's not note for note, you know, exactly like Tim Meadows, but he's someone that just grew and grew and grew more and more popular as he went along. So, you know, and it's also someone that you really associate with Saturday Night Live, you know, if, you know, like, cause you know, people are usually familiar with Saturday Night Live, when, you know, they got into it when they were teenagers. I feel like Tim and Kevin being there a long time catches a lot of people in that net. So like a lot of people were teenagers at some point during their tenure.
Yes.
So, yeah, and you know, and they just have this likability charm, like they of being the everyman, but also being able to disappear into a character or an impression. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Nealon, you know, because you know they've been there a long time, and a lot of people are familiar with them.
Good call, Joe. And isn't it quaint to think that when we were, I'm not sure your age, Joe, but Shari and I are right in the same ballpark. And, you know, watching it live at the time, I remember just thinking, wow, Tim Meadows and Kevin Nealon, they've been on forever, you know? And now that's so quaint to think about now that Keenan's been on the show literally like more than half the run, you know? All right, let's go to segment four, the closing argument. We are going to listen to Victoria's final argument, and then we will come back and we will discuss that amongst Joe and Shari. So let's give that a listen now.
Victoria, we're at that point. The pressure's on.
Okay.
Make your final case for Tim Meadows into the NFL Hall of Fame.
Are you ready for a rant?
Please.
Okay. Well, Tim Meadows is one of the most underrated yet essential cast members in Saturday Night Live history. Despite not always being the flashiest performer, his longevity, versatility, and impact make him a Hall of Fame worthy inductee. And here's why. Number one, longevity. As we mentioned earlier today, he is one of the longest tenured cast members. He was on for 10 seasons, and you know, one of the greatest decades of SNL, and you know, had one of the longest runs in the show's history at that time. Staying that long means he adapted to different eras of the show, performing alongside legends like Phil Hartman, Chris Farley, Will Ferrell, and Tina Fey, and his ability to remain relevant and consistently funny across different cast generations is rare. Number two, he's the ultimate utility player. Meadows never had an off season. He seamlessly shifted between lead roles, supporting characters, and those straight man duties. He could anchor sketches, react perfectly to chaos, and deliver punchlines with impeccable timing. And whether leading a sketch like Ladies Man or playing the calm, collected businessman in the middle of absurdity, like a shirt in a can, he made every moment of his time in front of that camera count. Number three, you've got the iconic characters. And we just talked about Leon Phelps, the Ladies Man. We talked about Lionel Osborne, Pimpin' Kyle, which we didn't get to talk about, but that's a very important one. Again, don't think we could say anything that they said on the show today, but nonetheless, very funny, satirical, hilarious. You've got Bill Brasky, his straight-laced delivery there. Jingleheimer Joe, a great example of SNL's ability to parody childhood innocence with dark humor. Then there's number four. You've got his legendary impressions. Again, we mentioned O.J. Simpson and how he really... and how really the show relied on him to navigate one of the biggest news stories of the 90s and one that wasn't a light subject. And he was able to strike a great balance between funny without ever crossing a line or being disrespectful to those involved. Oprah Winfrey, sad that it was out of necessity, but, you know, one of the first male cast members to impersonate her and nailed her tone and delivery. And as mentioned, we've got Don King, we've got a ridiculous Michael Jackson, which was a more restrained slash nuanced impression. We've got the Johnny Cochran, you've got Tiger Woods. And so this range proves that Meadows wasn't just a character guy. He could impersonate some of the biggest names in pop culture without turning them into cartoons. Number five, he's an underappreciated comedy MVP. many SNL legends like Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig, some of my favorites, often had big, loud performances, but Meadows was different. He never overplayed his hand. His humor came from a place of calm reactions and effortless coolness. And he often played the straight man in sketches, but that's one of the hardest comedy roles. Without him, chaos wouldn't have worked as well. And then 6, he was never a superstar, but he should have been. So unlike some cast members who broke out immediately, I would say Meadows was a slow burn, and he never had that big breakout moment like more cowbell. But he did have the ladies' man that came later in his tenure, proving that he had staying power and range. And though he left SNL quietly, his absence was absolutely felt. And then, of course, his impact on future generations of Black cast members. Diversity is very important, and he showcased the importance of having various diverse cast members of different backgrounds and ethnicities. Even though he was able to play a multitude of characters and he did them well, you know, there'd only been 3 Black cast members before him: Garrett Morris, Eddie Murphy, and Damon Wayans. He paved the way for future Black comedians on the show. He's one of the folks to do that. And his longevity proved that Black cast members didn't have to be big personalities to succeed. And then last but not least, post-SNL success and continued impact. We mentioned, you know, notable characters like on Mean Girls. You mentioned to the Office sketch with "I want my baby back, baby back, baby back ribs." His voice and style are still recognizable. So the final verdict: Tim Meadows belongs in the SNL Hall of Fame. 10 seasons, consistently strong performances, iconic characters, legendary impressions, the perfect straight man, influence on future generations, and having an awesome post-SNL legacy.
Nicely put, Victoria. Nicely put. Good grief. She brought notes, this young lady. So, Shari, I want to know what your thoughts are on Victoria's closing arguments, I'm going to say, because she really did list out, broke them down specifically into categories. And that was really cool. So I just wonder if there's a specific one you want to look at or comment on.
Yeah, she did. She was amazing. I mean, she had, like you said, she had her notes and she just went through them point by point. And I 150% agree. I think the biggest point I want to agree with, or the point she brought up, because she had 6 points, and one of them was how he is so underrated and overlooked, but yet he's always there in the clutch. He was there, like you said, it was quaint, but back in the day, 10 years was a long time. He was there for a long time, and he kind of started out slow, but then he came in at the end there and just tore it up. And he was always there to support other cast members and make them funnier. And she mentioned that several times as she was going through her list of points. And I could not agree more. Victoria's absolutely correct. Of course, I'm biased. You know, I'm a Michigan native. So is Victoria. So is Tim. So I have a special soft spot for both of them. And I will 100% be voting for Tim. He's definitely, definitely on my ballot. And Victoria and Bill
did a
fantastic job cementing my feelings.
Nice. Well, you're giving away your ballot a little early, Shari.
Sorry, just a tiny sneak preview.
We want to hear about it on the roundtable too, right? So, Joe, what do you think of Victoria's final arguments?
Thorough. And I'm thankful for that, because he had a career, like I keep saying, it built up steam. And then in the 90s, he really popped, to the front. And, she really got every nook and cranny. And the fact that she even mentioned perspectives, because usually when you think Tim Meadows, you think ladies man. But, then you get perspectives. Because the thing is with Tim, he has this relaxed, confident, charming smile, that he brings to a lot of his characters. He did it in Ladies Man Perspective and Pedro and Jim, or Captain Pedro and Jim. She just really, really got in there and mentioned all the you know, stuff that he was known for. And like, she even did a research with his pre-career. But anyway, as far as her ending statement, it's like, oh my God, like, I don't know what more we can add to it other than our own personal thoughts. So I agree with what she said. So, you know, hats off to that.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, this brings us to, you know, a moment that we've almost been waiting 50 years to talk about, and that is the SNL 50th anniversary, which took place in the middle of February, and here we are on the first week of March discussing it. We are going to do as we do every week and look at some Hall of Shame moments, or as Joe calls them, pros, and some Hall of Shame moments, as Joe calls them, cons. I will tell you that I, you know, just first off, I enjoyed the heck out of this. I enjoyed the heck out of it. But, and there's a but, and the but is, the next day, seeing people trash talk it, it made me scratch my head. Not trash talk it, but be critical of it. It was like, dudes, I just was able to, like, shut off and enjoy this and be nostalgic. And, you know, it felt like an elongated show to me, you know? Like, it wasn't so much like what the 40th was or what the 25th was or the 15th even, that were more montage heavy and pre-tape heavy. Shari, we'll start with you, and we'll get your Hall of Fame moment.
I can't or pick moments. Just one. I or can't moments. Pick just yeah. one. I can't right? pick just one.
No, go ahead.
I have a bunch, but I'll sure. go over them quickly.
No. Pick. Have fun.
The Jack Handy Deep Thoughts. Awesome. Yes.
Right.
I grew up with Jack Handy and those Deep Thoughts, and it was wonderful to see him. I love
and
him.
And to hear Phil Hartman.
Oh yes, my God,
that's
yes,
right.
yes. For sure. So good to hear his voice.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the fact that it was Phil Hartman, but that makes
sense. Oh, dude,
better.
That warmed my heart.
And then Lovitz, you know Lovitz. Always mm-hmm. his little bits are so yummy. They're so perfect. Last year it was the John Lovitz RIP. This year it's John Lovitz and the American Girl. Across the street. Oh, I'm not complaining, just wanted, no. but I'm not sure why I'm here. That's so funny. Yeah, I just want to know why. I couldn't think of the exact wording. Of course, Eddie Murphy as Tracy.
That was insane.
Oh, cheese lasagna. Just unbelievable. The two of them just playing off each other so beautifully. All the Keenan love. Oh, great to yeah. see so much Keenan. Adam Sandler's beautiful song.
Wasn't that great?
Loved it all. And the little bit in another little bit that Steve Martin did. You know how I'm always talking about the writers. We all are, and how they're so yeah. underappreciated. That shot of the writers with their umbrellas.
Oh, so good.
So great. So yeah. Those are just a few. I could go on and on, but yeah.
Well, we'll hear some more. Let's hear a few more, okay. And we'll hear them from Joe this time.
I mean, my favorite joke of the whole night, that which to me like is a joke that needed to be made and addressed and all that stuff. It's one of those things where it's both obvious, but you need to make sure that you do it. You don't want to, which is during Weekend Update. Colin Jost goes, Weekend Update's been on for 50, or Saturday Night Live has been on for 50 years. It's been through a lot of cast turnovers. After the first year, Chevy left and was replaced by Kenan Thompson, which is like the perfect, which just is the whole thing about the whole show overall, basically. Like, celebrates the past and the present and stuff like that, and it addresses an obvious thing, and it's just exactly. I mean, I could go on. What else could I go on? It just felt like a celebration of the show. And I, because here's the thing, this was the third anniversary Absolutely. Show. We had the 15th, the 20th, oh, no, wait, the 4th. The 15th, the 20th, 25th, the 40th. Yeah,
fourth,
so
yeah.
The point is, I'm getting at is we already had a lot of celebrations over the first 5, 10, 15 years. So I like that they focused on the more current stuff. You yep. know, they already had, even though Dan Aykroyd wasn't. Even though Dan Aykroyd wasn't
there. I love
there,
that as well.
At the 40th, he did Bass-O-Matic. So it's like, we already got that covered. At the 25th, they did the whole thing with Radio, you know, with the Beastie Boys. And who sings it? So they addressed all the classic moments. Yeah, because, yeah, Robert
Elvis Costello.
Costello. And so the point is, I'm glad, you know, they already did the Californications. So now they did Alien Abduction, which, okay, that's the one I'll focus on. I can't focus on a specific one. My mind's bouncing everywhere, so I'll just kind of end on this one. The fact that they got Meryl Streep, one of the most classiest actresses ever, to say all of this raunchy stuff. It was just, I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there trying to figure out, am I thinking it's someone else? Is that really Meryl Streep? Am I, because Meryl Streep never hosted or didn't any, I guess she's dating Martin Short, question mark, you know, shoulder shrug emoji. But, and then the other part about that is she's sitting there goofing up, and I swear, Kate McKinnon is sitting there pointing at her and laughing, going like, Meryl Streep can't do my job, you know? And I'm like, no, she can't. And I'm like, what is going on, you know? And then on top of that, the scared straight one is kind of a similar thing that happened where, okay, fine, like, they're doing it, and then Eddie Murphy shows up, and it's like, okay, that's big, that's the topper, and then they're going to do that whole thing. I think Eddie Murphy looked in the camera and said, MF-er. Because they bleep something, and that's what makes sense. And he looked right 5 inches away from the lens and said it. And then the topper on top of that is Will Ferrell. And I know I'm not the only one that got all excited about there being an Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell sketch. Like, you know, so the thing that in a, it went off the rails in a good way, where it's like anything, like the musical. You had Nathan Lane doing a parody of Hakuna Matata. And the thing that I like about that is, when Nathan Lane sang, when he hosted the show, in his monologue, he sang the Hakuna Matata, and then at the end he goes, well, I'm not singing that again. We'll cut to the 50th anniversary, and you're singing Cocaine and Vodka. So, it is just, I mean, it just kept going on and on and on. And there is a few cons to it, but I like that because you need imperfection for perfection.
It was great.
Imperfection for imperfection. It's a yin-yang thing. So, yeah, I mean, but I could go. I mean, yeah, but like,
yeah, so great points, Joe. Yeah, I think Saturday Night Live is at its best when, you know, when we get to experience some of the meta stuff and when we get to experience some of the variety, you know, the variety that it offers. You know, you've heard me on my soapbox about music. It's an important part of it. And over the course of the 50th anniversary, we got not one, but two different musical specials, and we got musical guests galore in the actual 50th anniversary special. As I said, it felt like an episode. It just felt like an elongated episode with Weekend Update in the middle, and I love the meta-ness of the celebration. So that was me. Now, Joe, we'll stick with you, and we'll get your cons, because of course there are going to be cons.
All right.
But, you know.
So for one, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Steve Martin's monologue, there was a few pieces where, and overall, it was good. I liked the stuff with John Mulaney and, you know, in the Gulf of Steve Martin. Da, da, da. It was great. There was just a few pieces where it felt like he was trying his own personal stand-up that didn't really have to do with Saturday Night Live, where he was talking about, hey, Steve, babies don't get sarcasm. And it felt like, what does that have to do? So there's a few pieces of the monologue. And then the cold open, I like the idea of having a current musical, you know, singer and then someone from 75 doing it. But I didn't feel like that should be the cold open. And then aside from that, the other obvious one is the audio issues. I think they had an audio issue where literally when they said Live from New York. And then and another one that was an obvious one during Bronx Beat. Now, here's the thing is when you watch it on YouTube, and I think they took it out on Peacock, they edited all the audio stuff out, which is fine. But it was there during the live performance or the live showing or whatever. But
really? It's been edited now?
There was a whole audio thing during Bronx Beat. It was Maya Rudolph's hair was covering the microphone, her lapel mic. And then you look in the background and you could see a boom mic. Like they're, you know, hustling it last minute to because it's Saturday Night Live. So you see like a shadow of a boom mic in the background, and you can see Maya looking over the camera, and you can tell that they're gesturing like for her to move her hair and stuff like that. So yeah, I specifically remember when that was happening, I'm like, I'm going to watch this and see if they had took it out. And sure enough, it was gone. So it was just little things, just little stuff like that. The fact, there's audio issues, like the fact that they recorded Steve Martin's monologue, stuff like that. No. But other than that, the show was pretty much pretty flawless, especially for SNL fans like us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, because we're going to be a bit nitpicky, right? But by and large, it was super enjoyable. Shari, did you have any cons?
Very, very, very few. I mean, as you two just said, it was pretty close to flawless for me. I had two tiny little quibbles. One, the opening sketch after the monologue, the sketch with Armisen, the Lawrence Welk.
The Lawrence Welk.
I can't think of the name of the sisters. It's hard to say. But I was... And several podcasts I listened to said the same thing. What the heck? Kim Kardashian? Why?
Yes, agreed.
I know Lauren begged her to do it, I read. He wants the young people. I get it. But really, Nassim, Abby, million choices in the audience that could have done it.
Because who was the other one? The other one was Sabrina Carpenter again, wasn't it?
In the sketch.
Was it?
Oh, I think she did two things right in a row.
Was it Sabrina as one of the?
I think she was.
I know Anna Gasteyer was in it.
Yeah, she was.
No, Anna, Kim, and who was it? Was a cast. Yeah, it's going to bother me.
I'm going to look this up.
Because I kind of liked it, because it kind of seemed like she was being humble. That was another one of my favorites, is that you have Kristen Wiig using doll hands to play her butt like a drum. And I'm like, how much humble, like from where she started to where she is, to where she's on Saturday Night Live getting her, butt played like a drum. I'm like, she's making fun of herself. And I kind of thought that was like a little bit charming. I get the point about the choice.
I agree, but I don't think it's fair to cast members.
It was Scarlett Johansson, guys. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, and Scarlett, I can understand because
she's a friend of the show.
She's a friend of the show. But the other one should have been a cast member. The other one should have been a cast member. I agree, Joe. She did a perfectly fine job, but I would have liked to have seen this scene.
I get it. I get your point.
Me too. That's what this is about. This is about celebrating the cast. And going back to Sabrina Carpenter, that was my con. I would have liked to see Miley in that role, because Miley to me is more representative of this last 20 years of SNL. And like, she might be the new Paul Simon. You know what I mean? Like, she's been on so many times, and she's a friend of the show. It could, in theory, be that type of person. She can just randomly show up on a Saturday and, show up in something. Shari, I, as I sometimes do, I cut you off. I apologize. Did you have any other cons?
Oh, no problem. This is a round robin, so that's fine. I had one more. This is so tiny, but I'm putting my fingers together tiny, even though I know you two don't have your camera on. I'm the only one with my camera on, but whatever. I loved Weekend Update. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. But I just wish that there had been more old anchors. I know Jane Curtin was on last time, but couldn't they bring her back?
Yeah.
And Neelan was right there. I would have liked to have seen a few more rounds of the old anchors. But, they only have so much time. They can only feed so many mouths. And they fed a lot of mouths from a lot of eras. I think this and the concert were such a love letter to the show. And for us diehard fans, basically, we went to heaven. Mm-hmm. It was just like heaven.
Yes, it was.
It was SNL heaven for all of us diehard fans. I can't say enough good things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And now it's over, guys. I mean, we can celebrate it right up until the 11th of October this year, right? Or until the 10th of October this year. All right. So it doesn't turn 50 until the 11th. So keep that in mind. Next week, speaking of keeping things in mind, what a terrible segue. Josh Brolin, we're going to be talking about Josh Brolin in the hosting category. This is a neat one because Brolin always brings a bit of the wacky, stuff with him. And I mean, his latest, he did a cold plunge at the beginning, just weird stuff like that. We're inviting back our friend Kalina Steckel, and she always brings the goods. Joe, Shari, anything you guys want to wrap up with?
I'll be interested. This will be an interesting discussion about Mr. Brolin since he was just on. And everybody's talking about how this last stint that he did kind of elevated him a lot. So it'll be interesting to see what Kalina and Bill have to say about this.
I think so.
Is he a three-timer? I think he's a three-timer.
He's a three-timer right now, yeah.
Very interested to see what they have to say. Looking forward to it.
I mean, know what I like about Josh, Joe? Just to give a little tease, is this is a good idea for a Saturday Night Live host, is someone who's known for doing dramatic work and then taking off his dramatic hat and putting on his comedic hat and being just as good at it. You know, he's someone that's known for doing, like Tom Hanks, you know, someone that's known for doing Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, and then turn around and then do Saturday Night Live. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Me too. I'm looking forward to it all. And I'm looking forward to come back around the water cooler with you guys next week when we talk about that episode. And we finally get to the Shane Gillis episode of SNL, which means we are pretty much caught up. I can't believe we did it, guys. So for Joe and Shari, this is JD leaving the water cooler, leaving the lunchroom. We'll see you next week. Stay thirsty. Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Dura. Podcasts and such.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.